we still continue with conversations of the environment right here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. Now, global reports suggest that more than 430 million tons of plastic are produced every year worldwide, half of which is designed to be used only once. Of that number, less than 10% is recycled. An estimated 23 million tons end up in water bodies, which in South Sudan could be the River Nile, among others. Now, to help us understand the scale of the problem, I'm joined by the environment experts, and we have Victor Wurde-Lotombe, and he's an environment consultant and former undersecretary in the Ministry of Environment. With him is Nyamach Hoth-Mai, an environmentalist too. Good morning and welcome to the program. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Right. So we'll start with, this year we're beating plastic this year, but we need to understand how big of a problem is the issue of plastic in South Sudan. I'll start with you, Victor.
Thank you, Radio Miraya, and thanks to our listeners. My name is Victor Wurde-Lotombe. I was in the Ministry of Environment, now a private consultant and a lecturer in the University of Juba. First and foremost, the World Environment Day is an information dissemination program. It was created in 1973 in Copenhagen. The importance of environment, the World Environment Day, is dissemination of information, sensitization of people about environmental issues in general. At most, we look at issues that are happening now, like climate change problems, pollution, and today we are talking of pollution aspects, plastic bags. Mm. Plastic bags are a menace internationally, not only in South Sudan. But then, the control of plastic bags is dependent on the country regulatory system, the enforcement of regulations and compliance. So, World Environment Day tells us or remind us of the detrimental issues that are taking us around, and South Sudan is one of the countries, and a new country, mm-hmm. with very few developed ideas and concepts about what our system is not yet synchronized very well, and as a result, compliance is poor, law enforcement is very poor. If we were to show you some pictures of the Nile, you will not believe what is happening in the Nile today. And this is also because of the mental set, how people think, how do they want to think about their own health. And we let the discarded materials just to float all around and are taken into the Nile, and the Nile is our source of water, and water is a source of our life. So we should have been really a little bit careful and serious about implementation of regulations and about abiding with the regulations. This is one of the most important things I would say.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Victor. Nyamath, what are some of the major contributing factors that have led us to, to all these tons of plastic being everywhere?
All right. Thank you, Irene, for having us in the studio, mm-hmm. and I want to say happy World Environment Day as we are trying to beat the plastic pollution. There are a lot of factors. What we need to know first about plastic pollution is that every year millions of tons of plastics are produced in their different ways, different capacities, different size and forms. And these plastics are actually produced from fossil fuel, in which for us we have petroleum mining and all this, so it's actually contributing to the production of this plastic material. Between 1950s to 2015, we have seen production of plastic have doubled from 2.8 million to 4.88 million, and this production is also projected to increase or double by 2050s to almost 8 million tons a year.
Does that mean that the demand is high? Encourages all this production?
The reason the production is actually encouraged is because More than 50% of plastic that is produced is single use. Mm-hmm. You use it once and discard it,
right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that one call for more demands, like the packaging for food and all this. You use it once and discard it, mm-hmm. which cannot be reusable again. So this plastic, we have seen it as a pressing environmental issues. And the factors are that, you know, plastic is manageable, mm-hmm. not like metals, not like clay materials that were used before 1950s. Mm-hmm. It's manageable, you know. Even as we are speaking now, we have a lot of plastic within this studio,
mm-hmm.
you know, and because of their flexibility, you can mold them, you can heat them and change the size mm-hmm. and change the mm-hmm. shape and all this. Mm-hmm. So this one has contributed to the massive production of plastic, you know,
right.
size, they are very, you know, if they are portable, you know, and they have been used in the modern medicines, like we go to hospitals, we find the drips, the, you know, the syringes,
yes.
and almost all the apparatus, most of them in the hospitals
plastic.
Are actually plastic.
Right. Well, Nyamath, you heard from Victor that we do not have a synchronized system to deal with this issue. But do you think South Sudan has the capacity to successfully address this issue?
Well, as he said, currently we don't have the system in place. We have the Ministry of Environment is there. We have the Juba City Council. We have been seeing their vehicles picking, you know, west.
Right.
We can have the capacity if we want to do it. You know, everything's that he mentioned about changing mindsets, the attitudes, and also being committed. If we really want to do that, we will, because the Minister of Environment sometimes banned the use of plastic, and all of us know, you know. But what happens is that there was no coordination between the ministry and the enforcing agencies like the armed forces, the police. We ended up sneaking this, the same material that we have banned, they were being sneaked in from Nimoli, and you'll find small children selling them on the streets. When you want to, you know, to interrogate such people, arrest them, somebody appears, you know, somebody big appears, and this one halt implementation of the ban.
Right.
But we are in a capacity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we need to put legislation in place.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be very serious, you know. Good enough, we don't produce plastic. What we do is everything is just being imported, so we can actually use plastic that can be recycled or reused and stop those ones. Kenya has done it, you know. Kenya did it. You don't go to a supermarket with plastic. And I remember in early 2000s, in Rang was the cleanest city, actually, because they banned plastic. You go to the shop, you don't get any plastic bag. They give you in newspaper or papers, you know. And it was because it was killing livestock, it was choking the fish and all this one.
Right.
So we are in a capacity if we are willing to do that.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Jamaj. Yeah, Victor, one would say that you had the opportunity to foster change when you were holding a senior government position. What would your reaction be?
To be honest to you, I would take this as a pride. I was the first South Sudanese to do environmental sciences at a master's degree in the University of Khartoum in then Sudan. And I took that pride, and I left a lot of jobs with the UN, with Aramco, and I thought I should work with the government so that I can be directly working with my people. And I struggled to create and establish the Ministry of Environment, the present ministry. We went well, we established it, we wrote the policies and the bill. The bill is unfortunately up to today is not out for reasons I don't know, because I left the government since 2016. The truth is that, as Nema said, if we can consolidate our efforts and universalize our deeds together and more together. I think South Sudan is one of the luckiest countries that, being a new country, it has no industrial problems.
Right.
And our environment is still a virgin and nice. Only that I may be very extreme to say we have been a little bit careless, and that we never thought environment is the most important phenomena. An environment touches every field. And in respect, if you take the tree, the environmental tree, it is so big, they include every science. So we frankly speaking have all the opportunities of doing very well and being the best even. We are very highly educated. We have a lot of academicians, and we can do anything in this country to address environmental issues, conservation of resources, and all this kind of thing. We are really at the best position at this very moment if we can consolidate ourselves and consolidate our ideas and recognize, try to find out who are there who can do this business. Like when you tell, do we have the capacity? I feel we have enough capacity to carry out these things. Only that we don't recognize those who are there to carry out these issues. For example, if I could give you pictures of the Nile, and I could give you pictures of around Juba, you know, everybody congest to Juba, but polluted to the extent that it is unbearable for me as an environmentalist to be, for example, in Tumping and see all that is happening.
And Mr. Victor, because we're running out of time, so what sort of policies do you think South Sudan must introduce to tackle this matter fully?
The policies South Sudan must introduce are already written. They are there, only that they are not implemented. I must be honest to you, since 2006 we have been working on the policies, environmental policy, environmental bill, environmental management action plan, and we have this document, my sister. But are they being used? Are we implementing them? No, we are not implementing. The policies of environmental policies are very universal internationally. We only have to change some cultural and ethical issues within the policies. But otherwise, they are almost the same everywhere, except that you have to bring in your personal, social, cultural inputs.
Right.
That makes it different.
Right.
So we can apply them. We can even use other people's concepts. Like now, when we were having environmental impact assessment reports and you want the environmental permit, I will see who is financing. Is the World Bank financing? I will try to gear that to the World Bank issues when we do not have our own policies by then. So you can. It is universal. Only your fundamental issues of cultural and all this kind of thing that you ought to make to this kind of thing.
Right.
So internationally, we can apply these policies.
Right. Thank you so much, Mr. Victor. Nyamach, because of time, what would be the long-term effects if the problem is left unchecked?
Well, plastic, in its nature, it's made from fossil fuel. And we know that plastic being left undressed, the issue, if it's not addressed, will cause a lot of environmental effects to the environment. First of all, it's alteration of wildlife habitats. We know we have a lot of wildlife in this country, and the plastic invades their habitats. So imagine, like, we have the case of people who are displaced by flooding. Where are they now? It's just the same thing. We will end up losing our wildlife maybe to Kenya or to Uganda when their habitat is altered by this plastic. When they're, you know, decomposing, you know, they don't decompose fast. They can stay for 100,000 years in our environment. And if they are not addressed slowly with the heat, they produce a lot of toxins to the environment. They pollute our air, they pollute our water, and they pollute the soil that helps with our food production system.
Right.
You know, and then when they are burned, like in Juba, we have a lot of burning, or in South Sudan, we don't have a waste management scheme. So most of plastic are burned, and we have seen for the past years the rate of cancers, upper respiratory diseases, infections, and all irritations are coming up because of this plastic. Plastic particles, they actually go to the food chain, you know.
Yes.
They go from one species to the other one until to the highest level of, you know,
in the food chain. That has been our time. I'm afraid Nyamach Hoth and Victor Wurda Lotombe, thank you so much for your time.